Good morning. It's good to see the people that are here and all of you that are watching online. We're so glad you're here, and we're expecting great things today from the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to every woman that's here. God bless you. Wear that title proudly. We are here most of all to meet with Jesus and to worship and lift up his name. So we're going to sing, Make Music with the Heavens. Stand with me. Jesus, we lift up your name today. We make music with the heavens. Imagine what that looks like, making music with the heavens as we worship the name of Jesus. In the days that we live in, I'm so grateful that the Lord called himself the Great I Am. We need a great God today to help us and to guide us. I wanna be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Thank you.
living again, singing as one.
Shout it out.
Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty. Great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty.
Sing it again.
He's the great. Thank you, Lord. I want to read a verse to you, a couple verses in Luke chapter 10. Touched my heart as I read it today. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. And she was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left all of this for me to do alone? Go tell her to give me some help." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." As I read this, I thought, as a reminder to all of us, let's avoid setting the Lord's work as a priority over his presence. The next song talks about sitting at his feet. Picture yourself today sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus. That would be the right choice to make today.
For a little while, until I look like the one I behold, I will pour out my heart until all of me is on the floor.
Sing that part again.
Oh, I will stay here for a little while until I look like the one I behold. I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor. And at your I will sing, yes, at your feet. I will sing, your name is sweet like honey. Your voice, it sounds like the water. Your eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are. The one I behold, and I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor. And at your feet I will sing, I sing to you at your your feet. I will, come on, sing it now. Yes, at your feet I will sing. Your name is beautiful, honey. Your voice, it sounds like the water. Your eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are. So I give you all my worship. will sing. Your name is pure like honey. Voice, it sounds like the waters. Your eyes are full of fire, fairer than the sons of men. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are worthy. There is none beside you, Lord of lords and King of kings. So I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship.
Come on, worship him today. Oh, we give it to you, Lord. You are Lord.
Didn't want
what you're singing.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is.
Oh, his name is powerful. Come on, sing it to him.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name. So I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. For you alone,
oh, he is God. I give you all of our worship. He deserves it. Oh, we worship you today, Lord.
I give you all my worship.
Not part of it, but all of it. All of it.
Oh, I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. For you alone are God. Oh, I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. I give you all my worship. For you alone are God.
Amen. I think I'm on now. God bless you all. Hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. We want to wish everyone a Mother's Day that's here, everyone that's watching us live on Facebook. Happy Mother's Day. It's a great day. And we just want to take a little bit of time for a tribute to Mother's Day. And so I'm not preaching a typical Mother's Day sermon today. But we do want to take some time. Before we do that, though, this morning as I was standing in worship, I began to think about Deb Turbeville. And Deb was my pew buddy. She always sat beside me on the front row, her and Man is here today. And I just thought it was real appropriate as I was thinking about her in the first service. And I thought, you know, if Deb was here, she'd probably turn around and look at people and say, come on, church, let's worship. And she was a worship leader at heart, and she never, she stopped leading worship due to some sickness, but she never stopped being a worship leader. She loved to worship, and I thought of her this morning, and my thought is, if she is in heaven now, she probably hasn't met anyone in heaven yet because she probably can't pull herself away from the throne. I can see her just worshiping Jesus. When you talk to Deb, she would say things like this, well, my Jesus has told me this, or my Jesus. It was always my Jesus. And she had an intimate relationship with Jesus, with her Jesus. And so it's... it's just great to have Man here today. I don't think that anyone has ever loved his wife any more than this man right over here. And it was precious to see their love for each other. And we could learn a lot from him on how to devote yourself to your wife. And Deb responded with that love and loved him with all of her heart. It was a second marriage for both of them. But what a glorious, glorious time they had together on this earth. And she died during this epidemic or pandemic. And we were not able to go to the funeral because they're containing them to 10 people or were at that time. And so I felt like I missed out. And I know that you did too. It's really funny how so many people that I've talked to felt like Deb was their best friend. She had a canning way of making everyone feel extremely special to her. And that's a real gift. And I think it comes from the love of Jesus. She loved Jesus so much it just flowed right through her. So I want to read to you today Proverbs 31. I want my wife to come and stand with me. And we're just reading starting with verse 10 through 31. As Solomon writes this, he says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband, safely trust her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it. For her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rises up and calls her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Amen. Mothers are extremely important to each and every one of us. And it's a value that we honor them every day, but especially one day a year. That we honor mothers. And when I read this passage of Scripture and think about this woman, I get tired just thinking about her. And I can remember when Treva, when our kids were small, and I used to watch her, and I would get tired just watching her serve the family. And it's because that's who mothers are. They're self-sacrificing, and they have an unconditional love for their children. I think it's the closest thing to God's love that we ever experience on this earth is the love of a mother, how they're just unconditional. But also one of the things that I noticed in this scripture is that mothers are watchmen for their family. They watch over them. You've heard of mother bears, right? And how if their cubs get out there to where they feel like they're vulnerable, you'll see a mother bear get very angry and very vicious. Even though they may be sort of docile, they won't be docile if their cubs are in danger. And that's the way mothers are. They watch over them. It's not just physical, though. It's spiritual, it's emotional, and it's the financial type of things. They want their children to have everything they need. So as I was thinking about this, I've asked Treva to speak about her mother a little bit, but I wanted to tell you, you never met my mother. She has been gone now for 19 years, but my mother was a real fun lady. Little nephews and nieces, they loved Aunt Amber, and people loved to be, and she was a real quiet woman, actually, when you put her in a crowd. But around her family, she just became this exuberant person that people and loved being around. But she was also very strict. She was the disciplinarian of our family. She taught me a couple of things. One, church attendance was not optional. We attended church every time the doors was open, and it really didn't even matter if you were not feeling well, you were going to church, because if you was not feeling well, that's where you would receive your healing. So come on to church with me anyway, and we'll pray for you tonight. But also, she insisted that we be workers. She wanted us to know how to work. And man, I said this morning she was a bit of a Nazi on that one aspect of her life. She made sure that we knew how to work, and she worked us. And I started working when I was 9 years old for the public, and 15 I went to work at Fred. So, I mean, my mother was all about work, and she was all about doing it right. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, she would say. But she was a great woman. She had a bit of a temper and that I won't comment on because it's Mother's Day, but I'll let you talk about your mom.
Is it on? Okay, yeah. Here I am. You know, I realized that not everyone had a good mother. I was blessed with a great mom and a great mother-in-law, so I feel doubly blessed that I had two wonderful women in my life, but not everyone can say that. And I realized that Mother's Day sometimes brings a bit of sadness. Like he said, his mom has been gone 19 years, my mom 13 years this week. And there's times when I wish I could just sit down and talk to her. But I change my focus. I switch my focus to the good memories and what she taught me. For years, when I would read Proverbs 31, I would feel like I can't measure up. This woman worked day and night. When did she sleep? You know, I think she must have grown the berries to make the dye to make the clothes. And I'm just like, who can live up to that? But as I read it again this week, what I chose to pull out of it, and you know, every time you read it, there's something new you will learn. But in verse 26, it says, she spoke with wisdom, and faithful instruction was on her tongue. And it starts off with her teaching, her telling her son, don't spend all your strength on women. She warned him about the dangers of alcohol, and she told him to be a voice, speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, and help the poor and the needy. So she was a woman of instruction. So I wanted to kind of bring that thought today about things that my mom taught me, just a few things. And I will say, she taught them all by example, best way to teach. Amen. She taught me how to cook by letting me help her cook. She taught me how to sew. She tried to teach me how to sew. I'm left-handed, she was right-handed. She would try to teach me, you hold the needle like this to sew on a button, and I would do it like she told me, but she would say, you're doing it wrong, because it looked backwards to her. So we had a few struggles on learning how to sew, but we made it. She taught me how to stay committed to a task, and the one that comes to my mind mostly is piano lessons. When I took piano lessons, she was a drill sergeant when it came to practicing 30 minutes a day. You got home from school, you did not go out and play until you practiced your piano for 30 minutes. To the point she would set a timer for 30 minutes, and you had to stay on that piano bench playing till the timer went off. But she taught me through that when you commit to something, you do it, and you do it well, and you stay to the task. I'm glad she taught me that. She taught me how to love my husband by example. She was very devoted and loving to my dad, and when I got married, I knew what it looked like to be supportive of your husband and to love your husband. But out of all the things that my mom ever taught me, from practical
to spiritual, the main thing that my mom taught me was how the importance of prayer. That's the memory that sticks out in my mind more than anything, is getting home from school and hearing you run into the house excited to be home from school, and I would hear my mom praying loudly. She never prayed quietly. Praying in a closed, behind closed doors. And I can remember as a kid, just I didn't dare interrupt her because it felt holy. It felt like important. And I didn't dare barge in there to her. But I remember sometimes standing at the door and listening to her as she prayed and just cried out to God for various things. People in the church, a lot of times I would hear her calling out my name. And I'm just going to say, if you're in the middle of raising children today or grandchildren, let them hear you pray for them. Absolutely. When you put them to bed at night, you pray for them. And you call them a woman or a man of God. You call them blessed. Let them hear you. Recently, in the last 2 weeks since all of this, I was talking to a mother in our church. And we were talking about praying for your kids. And she said, her child was there, and she said, I pray for her. I pray for this child. The child said, oh, yeah, right. It broke the mom's heart because she said, I do pray for my children. And I said, let them hear you. Let them hear you pray for them, and it will make an impact on their life, because it certainly did with me and my mom. In Titus 2, it also talks about the older women teaching the younger women. So wherever you are, whether you're a mother or not, if you're a woman, you can teach a younger woman practical things about life. If you're a grandmother now, you can still teach other women. We're instructed to do that in Titus. It tells us to teach. So we should always be women of trying to instruct, not forcing it on them, but just gently if you see an area that you could help them in. As I thought about Mother Teresa, you guys all know this. She was a nun, she was never married, and she was never a mother. And yet, she's known all over the world as Mother Teresa.
Right.
And why do you think that is? Because of her selfless love and servitude to those in Calcutta. Because she gave of herself. She was known as Mother Teresa. And I just want to say that the name Mother, it should have the highest respect. And so if you're a mother today, wear it proudly. It tells us in the verses he read in Proverbs 31 that you will be praised by your children and by your husband. So there's not a greater title. I love Mother's Day. I told him yesterday, I said, you know, my birthday, it's okay, but I didn't have a choice about that. You don't get to choose when you're born or if you're born. But mothers, your wedding day and your being a mother is a choice, and what a great choice it is. So happy Mother's Day to all of you today. Hope you have a wonderful, blessed day.
Amen. Stay with me. So I told you I had a great mother. I had a good mother-in-law. And I said this morning, I said, most people, rarely have I ever met anyone that said, you know, I used to hear my dad praying, or I'm in the kingdom because dad prayed me into the kingdom. But you'll hear that over and over when it comes to moms and grandmas. My mom prayed me here. The reason I serve Jesus is because my mom. You know, so hats off to mothers everywhere. My favorite mother of all of them that I know is the lady who's standing beside me. There's something, you know, I love my mother, I love my mother-in-law, but there's something about the woman who raises your children, who mothers your children. She is special to you. And so that's why that verse that says she'll be praised by her husband. Absolutely. Because the greatest thing I have in life is my children. And this woman pretty much made them the people that they are. I mean, great. Just through mercifully giving and giving and giving to them. So I want you, we didn't do this in the first service, but I want you to pray for not only the mothers that are here, but for the mothers that are watching us right now. Just pray a blessing over them.
God, I thank you that it was your plan, Lord, to create the family. Thank you, Lord, that you created the role and the title of mother.
And God, I thank you, Lord, that those maybe watching online or those here today, maybe today brings sadness to them. God, I pray that you will hold their heart. I pray that you will love them. And Lord, I thank you, God, that I know that the word says that you will be a father to the fatherless. But Lord, I thank you that you are also there for mothers. And Lord, that you, the characteristics of God, you are so nurturing to us as your children. You are so compassionate to us just as a mother. Lord, thank you for that. So God, I pray for every mother listening today, God, that you would shine your blessings on them today and let them feel the wonderful love of God and love of family. And Lord, I just pray that if they didn't have a good mother, God, that they can just look to you and know that you still love and care and you're full of compassion for them, Lord. So God, I just pray that they will walk in perfect health. I pray that they will be blessed, that everything they do, Lord, will bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I know, I hope that you're able to be with your children in some way today. I know Treva is looking forward to a phone call this afternoon where she'll Zoom with all three kids at one time and all three daughter-in-laws and grandchildren, and it's a chaotic time. that we do pretty much ever since this whole thing has started, we've been Zooming with our kids, and it's not bad. It's a pretty good second. If you can't be there, there's something about hugging them that, you know, and I'm not a big hugger, but there's something about hugging those kids that you can't replace with Zoom, but it is a good second. So if you have an offering today, we encourage you to just put it in the box in the back. And again, I just want to thank everyone who is not attending the church and those who are, how faithful you've been with your tithes and your giving. Our tithes and giving have just stayed really, really right up there. And that shows me that you're a covenant giver, that you understand what tithes is all about. So God bless you for your faithfulness. I would that you turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Again, I told you I was not preaching a typical Mother's Day sermon, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me early in the year and told me that he wanted me to preach on the Holy Spirit. I like to preach through a book, like the book of Acts, but I'm not even really doing that the same way that I've always taught through a book. I'm really just picking out things to teach you about who the Holy Spirit is. So I really want you to get that. At the beginning of this year, somebody just reminded me that I told you at the beginning of the year that 2020 was a year of being intentional. And I don't know that I could have come up with a better word for this year, because this year has been difficult so far, hasn't it? With the things that we've gone through, even, you know, just sitting here looking at a basically an empty church and preaching on camera for the first time in our life. It's been a difficult year for preachers, for pastors. It's been a difficult year for many people who have lost their jobs. It's been a difficult people who have kept their job because they're going out in a risky world. And so we need to be intentional about who we are, about what we believe, and how we pray, and how we speak. We need to be intentional. So today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. It's God's rescue operation. The Holy Spirit is God's rescue operation. In Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to skip verses 9 and 10 because all they are names, and you don't want to hear me try to do those. And so we'll start at verse 11 and read through 21. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this be? Others were mocking, saying, oh, they're just full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Suppose it is the only third hour of the day. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and my men servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for all that is attending and all that are watching, Lord. May your spirit touch their hearts, uplift them and encourage them, empower them by the Holy Spirit today, Lord, to live a godly life. Father, we worship you, we honor you, we tune our ear to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, Father. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In John chapter 20, we see that Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were sort of hidden in a room. They were shut up in this room, and Jesus walks in. This was after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. He walks in, and he speaks to them a little bit, and then he breathes on them, and he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit, which we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That was their salvation experience. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then a few days later, he's speaking to them again right at the ascension in Acts chapter 1. He said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, tarry here, and wait until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he says two different things to the disciples. One, receive the Holy Spirit. Two, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two separate works that he knew that was totally going to be crucial in their life. So Acts chapter 2 then starts off, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, then it says, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it says, power to be my witnesses. And then last week we studied that the word witness is the same word that we get out of the Greek word, same word that we would get martyr from. So basically what he is saying is, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so I can give you power to be a dead man. And we know, Wednesday night we studied when Moses said, God, I want to see you. And God says, you can't see my face and live. In other words, the only people that's going to see me are dead people. And so you've got to be dead to yourself to see the glory of God. And that's hard to do. I think it was Ray or Denny, one or the other, said, dead men don't fear. Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't lie. You know, they have no problem with the works of the flesh. And God in his infinite wisdom told us, you're not going to be able to do that in yourself. So I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so that you have the power of God so that you can be a dead man. And that will be what we consider a witness to the world. Because then the world, it's not about what you say, it's about who you are. They're going to say, he is different than he used to be. Why? Because you are letting Christ live in you. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost to do that. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 then says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I want you to know that it didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen just any old day. God had the day set aside, probably from the beginning of time, when the Holy Spirit would descend upon the earth and baptize people in the Holy Spirit. And that was on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days after the Passover. There was three times that the men particularly would go to Jerusalem, Jewish people. They would go on Passover, they would go on Pentecost, and then they would go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And so those three times they would go to Jerusalem. They are in Jerusalem today, on this day, because it is Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was not about harvest, but it was 50 days after the Passover, so they had planted their crops, and the crops are beginning to bud. And so Pentecost is a type of first fruits, because Pentecost is all about hope. It's hope in what God is doing. The Bible said that we will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our deposit, right? The Holy Spirit is saying, this is a glimpse of what I'm really going to give you, of everything that I have promised for you. Here's a glimpse of it, and I'm going to seal you with the Holy Spirit. So on the Feast of Pentecost, when the plants were beginning to bud out, they would take some of their buds and they would go to the tabernacle in Jerusalem as a celebration, as a day of excitement, because God, we are anticipating great things of what you're going to do for our nation because of the harvest that is coming. Do you understand the day that the church was formed was the day of the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost. It's the day of looking forward. The church is a type of first fruits of everything that God has in store, of things that are coming into the kingdom on this day of Pentecost. And it says, when it was fully come. In other words, there was an exact time. Now, I want you to know, timing is a big issue to us. Most of the time, it seems like we think God is late. We rarely think God is early, but many times we think, God, you're just late to help me out. I have been praying, I have been asking, but you're late. And you know, God is never late. God is always on time. So Jesus got a word that his buddy Lazarus was sick, and Jesus tarried about 4 days before he went to Bethany to talk, to help this family that he dearly loved. Treva talked about Mary and Martha today, how they loved Jesus so much. They wanted to serve him. Mary just wanted to get everything she could get, and she just stayed at his feet. But this family loved Jesus, and their brother was sick, so they send word to Jesus, come, we need you. And it appears that Jesus comes 4 days late, because Lazarus has been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And when they met him, both of them met Jesus at separate times, Mary or Martha first, then Mary. Both of them almost said the same words, if you had only been here. In other words, you missed it, Jesus. You're late. We told you when to be here. You didn't come. You're making our lives miserable. You've hurt us because you didn't come on time. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus was on time, because he wanted to do something so spectacular that would change the world. Matter of fact, when Jesus was not the only one that the Jews wanted to kill, you remember Scripture says that? They wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill one other person. Who was it? They wanted to kill Lazarus. Why? Because every time they looked at Lazarus, they said, you're a dead man walking. I don't understand why you're dead and yet you're walking and talking about the glory of God. Do you understand this is exactly what the world is supposed to do to us? As they look at us, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, They say, you're a dead man that's walking and talking about the good works of God. God is always on time. The Bible says that they were all in one accord, in one place. I really prayed about this one because I think that we underestimate the emphasis of this. They wasn't sitting around talking about what will be, what they're going to do next week, what's going on in their life. It says they were all in one accord, in other words, of one mind, and they were praying and seeking God. Jesus had told them, tarry here and seek my face. And that's exactly what they were doing. I believe with all my heart, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of division. And many times we have played part in this spirit, not only in the church, but we played this in our homes. We played this in our jobs. Remember Absalom? He had the spirit of division on him. And the Bible says that he turned the hearts of the people away from his father and made them loyal to him. And he took over the kingdom. He stole it from his dad. That's the word the Bible actually used. He stole the hearts of the people. What is that? It's the spirit of division. When people gather together at work and they sit there and talk about their boss, what is going on? It's the spirit of division. It's an antichrist spirit. John told us in the book of John that the spirit of antichrist is already at work. That was 2,000 years ago. You better know it's greater now. The spirit of antichrist, the spirit of division, is one of the spirits that's operating right now in this pandemic. It's the spirit that's trying to divide the church from society, trying to divide government, trying to divide neighbor from neighbor. It's a division spirit. You ought to have no part of it. We need to get rid of it. Matter of fact, we really need to pray and ask God to forgive us if we've ever allowed the spirit of division in our heart, if we've ever played that tune. And let me just tell you, I guarantee you have. It's a very deceptive spirit, and it operates, it moves in, and you won't even know it's there. I have done it, and I'll guarantee you have done it. And we need to say, Jesus, forgive us. But don't just stop there. Say, make me more mindful. Make me more mindful. Let me recognize this spirit when it's at work. Come in one accord. Do you realize how powerful the church would be? I'm not talking about the Assemblies of God. I'm talking about the church, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecost, non-denomination. If we dropped the titles, we dropped the division, and we came together in unity and began to pray. I've often heard this. If Christians would vote together, we would put every person we wanted to in office. That is so short-sighted. Come on, really? Is that what we, do you realize what you're saying? Who cares? Our hope is not in a politician. Our hope is in God. If the church body would come together in unity, there is nothing that we would not accomplish. I'm telling you, when we come into unity together, God then adds his anointing and everything is possible at that moment, not just a vote. Now, do I believe that we should vote? Yeah, I believe we should vote. We should vote together. But it's so much bigger than that. And then the next thing that I notice in the scripture is it says the sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the house. And then tongues of cloven fire set upon each one of them. And for some reason, we just get fascinated with the manifestation that the Holy Spirit came in. And I think that's wonderful, but it came this way for a reason. See, in that upper room, chances are that upper room did not have walls. It probably was a rooftop where they all gathered together and they were all praying. And it says when that mighty rushing wind came, people all over the city heard this manifestation. And they thought, what in the world is going on? So they began to head towards that. They would have to get close to hear. You don't have to get too close to hear Pentecostal pray, but you still had to get closer than hearing a mighty rushing wind. So they would have to get fairly close to begin to hear their language. And when they heard their language being prayed out, right? They said, we hear them talking about the wonderful works of God in our own language. And what did it do? It drew them to the Lord. That manifestation drew them. Now, for some reason, we like to make a formula of everything in the church. If this is the way it happened, it's got to happen this way every time. That's ridiculous. God is a very creative God. Don't put him in a box. Let him move. Let him have his way. I've seen people receive the Holy Spirit in a very quiet way. And I've seen other people very demonstrative. Tongues will come. We believe that tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit. But I think we make too much on that. I think we need to seek the face of God and quit seeking the gift of God. So it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that he brings. So people were all assembled together. It says that they were amazed and they were perplexed. And that is still what the Holy Spirit does to people. It still amazes them and it still perplexes people. Why? Because they know humankind. We know people. And we know what people's all about. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, there's something more powerful than you. It's the Spirit of God in you. And so great things happen. People may not understand it, but it draws them to God rather than pushes them away. Unfortunately, Satan has made us to cause a lot of people to fear the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit should be feared by no one. The Holy Spirit never forces you to act in any certain way. He is quite a gentleman, but he will. There'll be a manifestation. You don't wear him like a badge of honor. I was saved and baptized the same night as 7 years old. I was in second grade. I went back to my school teacher the next day. Her name was Mrs. Bell, pretty lady. And I went up to her and I said, I can speak in tongues. You want to hear me? And she said, no, honey, go sit in your seat. And so I was glad she did that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21, as Peter stands and he begins to preach, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servant, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for verse 21 in that chapter. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel prophesied in the Old Testament, there is coming a day when God has poured out his Spirit. He says this, in the last days, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, men and women of all races, maidservants, doesn't matter if you're gifted, if you're not gifted, if you're wealthy, if you're not wealthy, if you're educated, if you're not educated, doesn't matter. God wants to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter stood up and he preached the gospel to them. Now this is the same guy that denied Christ before the Holy Spirit. You got to look at this scripture and you got to say, what in the world happened to Peter? Peter was not the only one that denied Christ, right? There was two people that really denied Christ, Judas and Peter. Both of them denied Christ, but Peter was restored. His faith was restored. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches the word of God. He said this to them. He said, you killed the author of life. Man, how straightforward can you get to these people of all different races, you know, all different nations? They're standing there hearing, you killed the giver of life, the prince of life. The Bible says that their hearts was cut in two. And that's when God began then to pour in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit oftentimes in Scripture is known as oil, symbolic of oil, a type of healing. God then begins to pour in that anointing of His Holy Spirit. He didn't leave them open and wounded. He healed their heart. As they called upon Him, He touched them. The Bible says 3,000 people were saved that day. He said, Peter said, they said, what should we do? And He says, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's not just for the apostles. This wasn't just the way to start the church out. This is God's way. This is God's representative on the earth, is the Holy Spirit. And it's imperative that His people not only be saved, but be baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that you receive the power to live for God all the days of your life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28, He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Anybody weak? I'm weak. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How does He help us? He intercedes for us. The Spirit of God comes in you to pray for you, to help you in your weakness. All humanity has a weakness, and God in us overcomes that weakness. Peter couldn't even stand up to a little servant girl. She said, aren't you one of them? I think I've seen you with that man. I think you were one of his followers. You're a disciple. I was not. The last time he denied Christ, he even cursed. Judas did the same thing. He denied by selling him out. He went and he hung himself. But something happened to Peter. You gotta look at the man, Peter. Something happened to him. At one point he is denying Christ. The next thing we see is he stands up and he preaches to a whole city, and 3,000 people gives their heart to God. After their heart is laid open, the Bible says, it's cut open. What is it? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Peter, before Peter sinned, Jesus came to him one time and he said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you will overcome. You get this? The God, the creator of this world, told Peter, I have been praying for you. Satan wants to take you out, but I'm praying for you. It's the same today for you. Satan still wants to destroy your life. Satan still is trying to kill you, but the Holy Spirit of God has prayed for you and is praying for you, interceding for you. God, give him strength. He knows what Satan has planned for you. He reads it. He reads the times, he knows, and he prays for you before so that you don't fall prey to Satan. He is not one that you say, I think I can take it or leave it, I believe I'll leave it. Absolutely not. If you understand the gift of the Holy Spirit, what you would be saying is, I want a double portion. I want twice as much as everybody else because I'm twice as weak as everybody else. Give me everything you've got, God. I want the Holy Spirit. If He is going to pray for me, the Bible says He makes groanings that cannot be uttered. in the Spirit. He is praying for you. He not only prays for you, but he prays through you and prays for other people. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God because you're not involved. You know, oftentimes when we pray, we tell God how to answer our prayer. Well, God, I got this problem and I figured it out. You need to do this, this, and this, and everything will be all right. And God oftentimes doesn't do it the way we want to. And oftentimes I've seen Christians like three-year-olds, I'm just mad at God. Why? Because he didn't do something they thought he should have done. Let me say it this way. He didn't do something the way they told him to do it. But my Bible says in 8:28 that all things work for the good of them that are called according to his purpose, those who love him. In other words, it may not look good. Death never looks good. Does it? Never looks good to me. I don't like to say goodbye to people I love. Sickness doesn't look good. Divorce doesn't look good. But there is something that God does in his infinite wisdom when he can take the worst of situations and begin to turn it for everyone's good. Glory to God. How does he do that? I have no clue. But I know the instrument that he uses. The instrument that he uses is the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit executes the will of God on this earth. He always has. The Bible says in the beginning, God, right? He spoke the word, which John 1 tells us the word was Jesus. Where was the Spirit of God there? The Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering above the earth. What was he doing? He was waiting for the word to go forth so he could make it happen. Do you realize he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He is waiting for you to speak the word, and then he goes into action. And when he hears the faith on the word of God, he moves and begins to do things in our heart, in our life. Thank the Lord. He intercedes for you. I looked that word up, the Greek word for intercession. It is a Greek word. It's huperintuxeno. I pronounce that a little bit differently this morning. Huperintuxeno. Well, whatever. You can see it on the screen, maybe. You try to pronounce it. But what it is, it paints a picture. It's a picture of someone who has fallen into a trap. They've fallen into a quandary. And they need help. The Holy Spirit springs into action and he goes on a rescue mission. Do you realize you are the rescue mission? That God sent the Holy Spirit to rescue you out of the place that you were and to bring you to himself and then to empower you to live. Isn't this good? My goodness, this is good stuff. God empowers us to live for him. He doesn't just say, okay, act right now, because he knows we won't act right. We need help. We're still weak. Every one of us have fallen into the trap of sin. Isaiah said it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, among whom also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Who's he speaking of? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about everyone that's watching on camera today. We were children of wrath, just as others, he says. And then the next two words are so mighty, so powerful. He writes, but God. We were every one of us children of wrath. You don't want to experience the wrath of God, I promise you. But God interceded in your life and in my life. He took the wrath of God for you so you could receive life, so you could receive goodness. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, which he loved us. Jesus Christ loved us. He gave himself for us. And then God sends us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live for him. I've met many people in my life that said, I just can't live for God. They're absolutely right. They can't until the Holy Spirit empowers them to do so. It's because of God that we can live for God, that we live as dead men. The Holy Spirit is God's rescue operation, and you are the mission. You are the mission. The Holy Spirit came for you, to rescue you from a life of sin, to rescue you from a life of humanness, a boring life of just doing the same old thing. He rescues you from being afraid of the coronavirus. You quoted it to me early this morning, brother. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in the time of trouble. And then you said, why should I be afraid? Isn't that right? God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalms 46:1. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of the manifestations of the Spirit. God, if I know anything about the Holy Spirit, I know one thing. He is all gentlemen. He will never force you to act a certain way or look a certain way. He just doesn't do that. Some people receive the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues with a great deal of emotions. But as many as I've seen receive him that way, I've seen people receive him in a very quiet, meek, and mild manner. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is subject to the person. He does not cause you to act crazy. Do people act crazy? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes they do. Why? Because it's a rush, right? When the Holy Spirit comes in you, it is a rush. I mean, it's powerful. So it changes your life, no doubt. But I find that he is someone to be embraced, not someone to shun. Can we pray? Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your promise that you said that this promise is to you, to your children, and to all those that are far off. 2,000 years ago, Lord, you were thinking about us. And your gift and manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has not changed. It was not just for the apostles. It's for each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that gift because we know that anything you give is good. So Lord, we say we want to be a part of everything that you're giving. And I pray, Lord, for people that's on this film, Lord, as they're watching this on Facebook, God, I pray, Lord, that they would just lift their hands towards heaven and ask you to fill them with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, Lord, that you would do that in their homes. Lord, that you would do that wherever they're at, alone or in a family. God, as they lift their hands and they ask you, Lord, I know you're the giver. Lord, you do not take, you give. And I pray, God, give them the Holy Spirit, Lord, so that they will have the power to be a dead man, Lord, and to live for you, a living sacrifice, that they may see the glory of God in their life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray, Lord, for the richest blessings upon each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, just lift your hand towards heaven and receive a priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you. Don't forget that Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Denny, Ray, and I will be teaching. And it's been a great time. And so we really encourage you just to continue to view us and continue to be there. Continue to have watch parties after this is over. Put it on your Facebook so others can see and be a part of this as we reach out not only to Bridge of Hope, but to the entire area and reach them for the kingdom of God. God bless you. We love you.